out. So, yeah, that's a great thing to see as well, and also something that we're excited to see, develop and actually get up from the groundbreaking point. It feels like we always go to these groundbreakings, but we don't necessarily always see like the end result. So we'll have to make sure we follow up on that.
Well, before we go, a couple of events going on. I get to quiz you and Megan this Saturday for the, I think it's the Northeast chapter of the AAUW, the American Association of University Women.
Are you interviewing them?
They're gathering, yeah.
Oh.
The all women news team of KEXC, which was, not intentional, but gladly appreciated. So that should be a lot of fun for us.
It should be. Do you think I should ask them about the partly sunny, partly cloudy phenomenon?
Throw it out, throw it at them. Yeah, I think
A little
that'd be very good.
icebreaker.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be it's always fun to talk about our work and
Yeah.
share with people.
Yeah, and it's kind of hopefully you'll be hearing more about these sorts of things in the next year, years to come, of us getting out more in community, more places for you to interact with us, find out about the news, ask questions, give us tips. I think that's one of the big things we hope that we get across on Saturday is there's three people in the newsroom now, but we cover a really big area, and a lot of your stories are coming because someone in the community told you about it.
It's definitely true. I mean, there's only so many places that we can be, and there's only so many connections that we have built in already ourselves. So we don't always hear about things. And, I can think of a handful of examples that we're working on right now that came from tips from people in the community. And it's always nice too, because you know that people are paying attention and that they respect your work enough to want to send something your way and know you're going to do a good job with it. So
Well,
we'd
and
love to hear from you.
I think those these opportunities, getting in front of people. You and I have spoke at another chapter of AAUW, and getting out there to find out what people's questions are, because they had really great questions for us, and it's just always kind of interesting finding out what those questions might be. So we'll have to report back. And then, Megan, what is this Radically Rural conference that Megan is attending?
Yeah, so next week, Megan will be heading out to Keene, New Hampshire. So that is the where this radically rural event takes place. It's a summit that they have, and they have various different tracks that you can take part of, but one of them is community journalism. She's actually attended before, and she was able to get a scholarship to go this year. And it's going to be really interesting. I'm excited to hear her report back from it. But basically, the idea of it is to amplify collective rural impact by connecting folks with each other and with ideas. So they have roundtable discussions. They have great local food and entertainment. They go out and about in town, and it's in this very rural place, which, you guys know that sometimes events that are about rural are
In
not happening in rural
Boston.
places.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, I just Google image Keene. It looks like a beautiful town. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
I'm sure it's straight out of Gilmore Girls.
We
That's how I'm imagining it.
and it's going to be sweater weather maybe for them.
Sweater weather.
Yeah.
So also next week, we've got some things, other speaking things going on too, which I don't, I'll be talking with our friends down at the Sewing Room, I believe, and talking about kind of community journalism and stuff. And then you and Sarah are headed out too.
I think it's just going to be Sarah. I'm not sure yet,
Oh,
but
okay.
I don't know that we are speaking there, but they are
Okay.
going to be presenting about us. They
Right.
came to town recently, the Minneapolis Foundation, and
Yeah.
took some video of us doing our thing and talking about our work. And there's going to be an event down in the Twin Cities next week that I'm looking up the name of right
Yeah.
now, and it is called the Minnesota Meeting. The topic is next in news, and they're looking at the news ecosystem in the state.
Okay.
And we recently got some support from the Minneapolis Foundation for through our recent fundraiser. And so they are taking a look at, they're going to share what we're up to up here in the North Woods with the greater public.
All right.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Great work. Thanks for calling or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying now.
Thanks for zooming.
Just look down at a text.
No, all right, let's all wave to each other. Let's
love you. Love you. Bye.
On the radio. Call me.
You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show, and this is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KVXE Bagley Bemidji. Oh. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210 DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local, independent, people-powered media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
Say goodbye to Mrs. Wright. He missed his day, and she left that night. But I know. Trying to tell him.
That is new music from the Womack Sisters. I can't wait for this album to come out. It's, of course, on Daptone Records, which makes a lot of sense based on what you just heard. They are like soul music. This is what they should be doing. They're, well, they're like Sam Cooke's granddaughters and Bobby Womack's.
Okay.
Nieces. It's insane the family tradition that they come from. So I just don't want you to say goodbye off their upcoming album. So you'll be hearing more from them. Hey, coming up at 9 o'clock today, it is Headwaters on KAXC. DJ Dang is your host this morning until 11. Then it's the World Cafe. And at 1 o'clock, Judy Gruey is your host for On the River. And tonight at 7, it's Doug Danger.
Weather, hot and steamy northern Minnesota. We are expecting 80 to 84 again. South winds 10 to 20, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Cloudy tonight, temperatures 57 to 58, and fog early tomorrow, and then highs 82 to 85, and then mid to upper 80s on Saturday, mostly sunny.
Whew. Cooling down next week, yeah. Supposedly.
Fish are going back to the summer patterns. That was the update from Jeff.
If there's no weeds, there's no fish.
Yeah.
Yes. We receive support from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com. And support comes from Paul Bunning Communications, powered by the GigaZone, offering fiber optic fast internet speeds up to 10 gig and GigaZone Wi-Fi to support devices wirelessly. Paul Bunning Communications, Northern Minnesota's local broadband cooperative.
Our question of the week has been garnering so many stories from you, and we want to hear more. You can text us at 218-326-1234. It's about grocery stores. What do you remember about them from when you were young? We heard from Dave. He said, I bag groceries at a place with the tubs and conveyor rollers. We still joke about the line you got to use when loading the cars. Oh, this was a personal
not
text.
Not prayer.
Yeah. I'm glad I did not say that one. I mean, it's not terrible, but I just need to think that through. But yeah, a lot of people are remembering that. I remember the one store in Brainerd that had the rollers conveyor belt sort of situation. I got a text from my brother. I don't know if he would remember. I was talking about my grandma, Ina, that she would eat food as she was
shopping.
He's probably not surprised, but I wonder if he remembers that as well.
Do you know that when I was young, I so badly wanted to work in a grocery store?
No.
Like when I was a little kid, I thought that this was like the pinnacle of.
I had a brief foray with that because I got a Christmas present that was a kid's cash register. And then I took all of the, canned goods and like set up my own grocery store.
I did that.
Pricing.
I remember doing that at sleepovers in elementary school. I don't know why I never ended up. I had many jobs as a teen, but I don't know why I never did that one. Still kind of live it out in the self-checkout with the barcode, getting to like beep, do that.
We want to hear from you, whether it was the small town grocery stores or sort of the, we're now used to kind of, you can almost be in your own protective bubble. We're now back to that sort of interesting thing of, here we're saying you had such service of someone bagging them, then putting them in that tub, and then someone out there to put them in your car. And now you can order your groceries and go pick them up.
Not even see the food before you get
which
it.
It can be a problem. Grapes, et cetera.
I don't trust it. I remember going to Osco Drug in Aberdeen also. And it was a drugstore downtown where they had the bins of those. They were like chocolates, not truffles, but chocolate with mint on the inside. But they were like in gold, like they were twisted. Not gold. It was like.
Boy, it's fancy in Aberdeen, South Dakota.
Well, they were like a quarter.
Mints? Oh, okay.
They were like a quarter. The round globes of chocolate. I don't remember what they were, but I always loved getting those. And then Heinz Market was also in Aberdeen, and we would ride our bikes there. It was like a little meat market store, but they also had a wall of candy for like a penny, a quarter. And that was so much fun to go there.
The conversation yesterday between Andrew and Dan was about comic books in grocery stores.
Oh.
Because they used to always be there. And
like by the magazines, probably?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Andrew, of course, knew that there was some sort of agreement with comic book distributors. Like if they didn't sell, they would take them back or something. Because Dan said as a kid, he wondered like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know. They got into this really interesting conversation. I do remember sort of begging to get those comic books, but I didn't usually get them in the grocery shopping. But on my bike going down to the Arrow Shopping Center, I could pick up my Archie and
Was it Archie?
Yeah, Archie, Richie Rich, you know, oh, okay. Stuff like that.
I read Archie and Family Circus. That's mm-hmm. and Calvin and Hobbes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But not like, well, I mean, those are comics.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. I wasn't into the more of the true comics. I would never say that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Andrew's level is what I'm saying.
Yes, I understand what you're throwing down here, Heidi.
Oh my. So I did hear from my brother, and he had heard earlier me talking about our grandmother, and he said she would put me in the cart seat and open up a package of Hydrox cookies. Oreos were too expensive, and we would eat them as she grocery shopped. I love that part of it. Just a kid. I definitely remember grapes, he said.
Well, I guess now that you say this,
I mean, kids, you see that with kids. I mean, sometimes kids, it's a hard thing as a parent to have your kids in the grocery store, and I see them opening things up. And in produce, you can grab a banana for your kid.
Yep, or cutie. And there were times that actually just unlocked memory when Anders was little. I remember him eating, we didn't wash it, but I remember him eating like a whole thing of like raspberries as we were grocery shopping, because it was just mm-hmm. like, well, it's occupying him and mm-hmm. he's, I don't know. Then you pay for it. Obviously.
I like unlock memory. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's great. That
you know how
be a show.
Unlocked memories.
We'd have the sound effect, you know, unlock. I hear it. I feel it. We just heard from Jen. She said Heinz Market is where we buy to pick up our candy cigarettes.
Of course. Obviously, Jen. Same. Because remember, Jen and I grew up in the same town.
Yeah. It's just a different era, right? I remember, you know, those candy cigarettes. And then a neighbor...
Coffee shop in Neva still sells those.
Okay. Sure. I saw they weren't great candy, to
no,
be
they're
honest.
They're terrible. It they were like, chalky.
It was like a piece of chalk.
Yes.
Almost like when made tiny, you know, like a...
It maybe was chalk. I'm not sure.
Sprinkling of sugar. But I had a friend next door, and we would play bar. And obviously we had cigarettes. And drinks. It was different times. I mean, let's just be honest.
Oh, that would be if I walked in on my kids doing that.
Well, we tried to find our mom's dress, you know, like a fan, like it was fancy to go to a bar. And so there was a lot involved. It wasn't just the drinking. It was, you know, you kind of dress up the bar.
Not school. You played bar.
Well, no, I also played school.
For sure.
And, you know, I mean, yeah.
That was before the bar.
Yeah. Different times of day. You got to make all these things up. 218-326-1234. We just heard from another coworker, Chris. Says, Kari, I've often thought it would be fun to work at the deli of a grocery store a day or two a week when I retire.
Oh, Chris, I could totally see you doing that.
Oh, my God. He'd be the best. He'd be so friendly.
Yeah.
He would ask you questions, but not too personal.
Yeah. Let's tag team the meat counter and slice some ham, he says. That's not where I want to work, though, Chris. I don't want to be in the meat counter. I want to be at the cash register. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. But we can give our shouts across the way.
Are you chatty with you usually check out yourself?
No, I don't. I usually don't. I only do that if I have like one item and there's...
Oh, sure.
But even then I usually go to the Express. It ends up being more of an issue and...
I know.
Bad.
Well, they have to have someone stand there and help
you.
Yeah, anyway.
And I usually need help. And so it's like, whatever. I don't usually do that. So no, I'll chat with them every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the young folks are real chatty. I love it.
I know. It's hard work, you know,
yeah.
And we need, I mean, kind of the thing. Yeah. We're laughing. We're having fun about grocery stores, but it's like, it's a real issue in rural places. And
it's a community center in a lot of places.
A hub. You can text us too at 218-326-1234.
We receive support from Grand Rapids State Bank, committed to serving the Grand Rapids area for over 110 years. More at grsb.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Another coworker, Steve, says we wind up having to do the delivery and pickup for groceries in order to put a cap on impulse buying with the kids. You know, that's exactly why I do it as well. Just because then you know exactly what you're getting, and just time-wise, it helps a little bit.
Reins it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That started in COVID, right? Why is that fuzzy?
Yeah. Because it's all fuzzy.
I know. Yeah. I don't do that very often anymore. It feels like sometimes that takes more time and planning than I care to do. But here we are. If you've got more to add to the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Text 218-326-1234. Increasing clouds today with a slight chance for some showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs 80 to 84. Winds from the south 10 to 20 miles an hour.
Coming up, we'll be bringing you some news. We'll hear again from the Up North Report. We've got local news. We're also going to hear from National Native News as they are covering the story of Orange Shirt Day. That is about the fifth National Day for Truth and Reconciliation across Canada, and the Prime Minister and his reflections on it. We'll stay tuned for that.
Hold on. I've got an alert here from Ashley. She texted and said, if you light the candy cigs on fire, they taste like toasted marshmallows. So maybe they actually taste better.
Wow. She has some experience.
Ashley, that's hilarious. Thanks for that.
Coming up, 9 o'clock, we've got Headwaters with DJ Dang.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Across Canada, people mark the fifth National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, also known as Orange Shirt Day. Prime Minister Mark Carney reflected on the tragic legacy of the residential school system and talked about how his government is moving toward reconciliation. But as Dan Karpinchuk reports, the country's governor general says more work remains.
There were rallies, ceremonies, and speeches with, in many communities, a sea of orange shirts. And there were celebrations of Indigenous music, language, art, and culture. And most importantly, there was time to reflect on the past abuses of the residential schools. In Ottawa, at one of the events, Prime Minister Mark Carney addressed the crowd.
Truth is the foundation of justice. And the truth is, for more than a century, this country ran residential schools. Over 150,000 First Nations, Inuit, and Métis children were taken from their families and their communities, torn from their languages, their cultures, and their identities. On this National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, we honor survivors and the children who never returned home. We reflect on the devastating legacy of the residential school system. And we, as a government and as a people, we match remembrance with responsibility.
It's been nearly 10 years since the recommendations from the National Truth and Reconciliation Commission. There were 94 directives after hearing from thousands of residential school survivors who told their personal stories of pain and tragedy. Carney says his government remains committed to advancing the work of that commission. Governor General Mary Simon, who is Indigenous, says some progress has taken place, but much work remains.
Inequities persist, and we share a lifelong responsibility to address them. I have seen Indigenous people striving to heal while still struggling to meet basic needs. Too often, they lack access to adequate trauma-informed mental health support that honors their traditional healing practices. So today, I call on every Canadian to renew their commitment to reconciliation.
Simon says she sees a world where young Indigenous people can embrace being Canadian without compromising their identity. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
In the U.S., Orange Shirt Day events also took place, including at Haskell Indian Nations University in Lawrence, Kansas. The university was originally established as an Indian boarding school. Current Haskell senior Denise Flores Frazier gave out ribbons in remembrance of children who attended the Haskell Institute and never returned home.
We created pins with the names of each 150 children that were discovered here at Haskell Indian Nations University. We put out their tribes and a little website link so that people can find if they have a relative here or if they just wanted to know more information about some of the children here, like the ages that they passed or their time here at Haskell. We're also leaving notes so that they can write letters to them. They won't be left at the graveyard, and we're not reading them. We're just collecting them in case people have anything they want to say to the children.
The sorority chapter of Gamma Delta Pi hosted the event. Other events on campus included a remembrance walk and an open mic and panel night to provide people the opportunity to share stories. The National Congress of American Indians has a list of resources available for tribes and hosted a webinar this week ahead of the federal government shutdown to discuss tribal funding, Indian affairs, and critical services. Webinar speakers discussed contingency plans, saying most tribal programs will be impacted, which could include funding disruptions. The government shut down midnight on Wednesday. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News.
National Native News is produced by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation with funding from the Ford Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Coming up, local news from KAXE, the Up North Report.
We receive support from Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty, helping guide your real estate journey in northern Minnesota since 1947, from buying or selling to land or lakeshore. Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty, more at coldwellbankernorthwoods.com.
Our thanks also goes out to Bonner Eye Clinic, locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing, offering cataract surgery, LASIK, and general eye exams. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly.
So, Heidi, I took last week off.
Yes. This is what we were going to talk about today.
Yes. Did not go anywhere. Did not.
Actually, we're also going to talk about Nashville. But yes, let's talk about last week.
Yep. So last week, took the week off. Did not go anywhere. Would not allow myself to really check in on email, which, as I think you know, is sometimes not easy.
Right.
I didn't log on to Teams once, which is how we communicate on staff. I did not go on there one time in my time off. And I am just going to tell you, and I was also just intentional about, you know, if I'm going to be on my week off, I'm not going to be on my phone. I'm not going to waste my time doing that. So I listened to a book. Otherwise, I was like, it's all music, baby. Like, it's just, no podcasts. No, I needed to shut off the noise.
Right.
I came into this week so much more clear-headed. Huh. It was, I don't know. It was like such a great brain break for me.
Do you think you can do that on a smaller level, like a weeknight or a weekend now because you did this?
I would like to. Like, yeah. I was really thinking last week, my goal in taking that time was to come back with more balance.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it can so quickly get out of whack and so quickly, you know, with work sometimes, in all jobs, you just get consumed a bit. And sometimes just getting that, like, I picked my kids up one day and I just realized it was like the second day of my time off. And I was like, I've been with my kids, but I really hadn't been present with them since July. And I was like, oof, that kind of hurts. Like, yeah. I need to, but it was a good, if you have the opportunity to do it, I know not everyone is able to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a game changer for me. And I think for my mental health, I needed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, coming up in our, before 9 o'clock, I want to learn more about your travels and music and conversations with musicians in Nashville. Right after the festival.
Yeah, like 2 days after.
Wow.
It was a little early of an Americana Fest this year, but it was great. I was able to interview Robert Finley.
Oh my gosh.
Are you kidding? Like,
is he like 92 pounds?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's a string bean. He's a little taller than you might expect, but he is a string bean. Yeah. There's not a lot of meat on those bones, but
this is a blues musician.
Blues musician. He's 72, 73.
That's all. Oh,
no,
I thought he was 92.
Honestly, I should too. But I was able to listen to, cause they do these, stripped down recordings in the studio, and I was able to listen to him doing this, a couple different songs. The falsetto on that man is unbelievable. I was sitting back with the recording engineer, and as Robert Finley is singing, the engineer looks at me and he was just like, oh, what? I mean, it was like, and he's just an incredible person. His daughter sings with him on this new album. So I got to ask him a lot about his daughter. The pride coming from that man about his daughter was like, I mean, it was just like, I want to keep talking to you for like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
He has a new album coming?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, we might listen to something from him though after.
Yeah.
After a bit and hear some more stories. Thanks for tuning in today. We appreciate it. We are here for you. As you have heard, there was government shutdown yesterday, but also it was the first day that we have been without federal funding officially.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for your overwhelming support. That first year, I just found out from our founder last night, the first year we were on the air in 1976, we didn't get that funding yet from federal funds. So I had written up some thoughts yesterday about it, and it's really a powerful reminder that we can still stay on the air, and that, you know, we need to rally community, because that's the only way. It took them 2-3 years, I think, to get everything going. People really didn't, you know, didn't understand why a community station, why a public radio station would be in a rural place. So thank you so much for keeping us going and through this. We're people powered. Your support means we can go to other sources. They want to know, are people behind you? And so we want to keep it going. And I know for a lot of folks, they haven't had time to do that yet, to help us out. We did get a pledge of support yesterday that I wanted to get to here, actually. It was Buttercup Ranch in Effie donated, who said, dropping Hulu, picking up KEXE.
Aww.
Keep it up.
Thanks, Buttercup.
Yeah, we also just got a pledge coming in from Ryan in Bemidji. Ryan, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You're keeping us going. You can join us too. Go to kaxe.org.
We also heard from our friends, the Hoops, yesterday, mm-hmm. who came through with an additional pledge. And, you know, it's people showing up time and time again. And we are so thankful to everyone who helps support us and believes in public radio and why it's necessary. You can join us anytime at kaxe.org.
We receive support from Bemidji Brewing. They celebrate 10 years of their German Blonde, a week-long anniversary event that's going on through October 4th. Includes beer infusions, events, pop-up shops, and live music. Full details on their Facebook page, Bemidji Beer. Nice catch.
You can learn about chronic wasting disease with the Minnesota chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers tonight from 5 to 8 at Cuyuna Brewing Company in Crosby. Find out how to prepare your deer for testing and share hunting stories and wild game recipes with other hunters.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. An estimated 350 people packed into the 4-H building at the Beltrami County Fairgrounds Tuesday night to testify before a judge in the joint administrative trial between Northern Township and the City of Bemidji. The judge allowed Bemidji Mayor George Prince and the attorney representing Northern Township, Mike Corey, to each address the sizable crowd before the hearing began. While recording of proceedings was not permitted, Mayor George Prince recapped his speech with press outside. He says because elected officials couldn't work out their disagreements, the decision over where boundaries will be set and which local government will build sewer around Lake Bemidji lies in the hands of a judge.
It's a failure, and I own an equal share of that, along with, I'd argue, every other elected official that's been involved in this. And so I'm not going to run away from that. I'm not going to pretend that isn't a real thing. We have to get beyond it. We have to abide by whatever decision we get.
Corey says enough of Northern Township's land has already been annexed into the City of Bemidji, and that becoming a city will firm its boundary and protect its tax base.
No coincidence the city is trying to annex a thin little strip of Northern Township all the way around the lake, about 6 miles or so. It's kind of a crazy annexation in that regard. And it's because that's where the tax base is.
Northern Township, with federal grants and possible state bonding dollars, plans to assess these lakeshore properties for some of the cost of the infrastructure for the $21 million project. Bemidji says it could time out installing sewer and water at least to Lake Bemidji State Park in 2026 to work in conjunction with Beltrami County's planned road construction. The city, with already established utility systems, offers a deferred connection program for new utility customers. The public can provide written comments through October 24th, and Judge Jessica Palmer Denig will review them for several months before she makes her decision. A similar public hearing with the judge present will be hosted at the Sanford Event Center in Bemidji at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, October 8th. Members of the public and property owners impacted by the Brimson wildfire this spring can obtain free firewood and gravel permits from the Superior National Forest. The firewood permits are valid for up to 3 years for personal use within the Brimson Fire Complex area to help aid in restoration efforts. Property owners within the 28,000-acre fire zone can obtain a free gravel permit for up to 100 cubic yards of material. The Superior National Forest states that permits can be obtained through its Laurentian Ranger District office in Aurora, with more information available on its website. The permits will be available beginning Monday. The state's ag department recently received $11 million from the USDA to expand conservation practices on irrigated agricultural land. The funding will support a five-year project in 25 counties statewide, building upon previous grant work in 2021. The program will provide financial and technical assistance to farmers using irrigation systems, with efforts focusing on precision irrigation technologies, improved nitrogen management, irrigation water management, protecting groundwater, and expanding the adoption of conservation practices on existing farmlands. Financial assistance is expected to become available later this year. The program will be administered with 26 soil and water conservation districts, including Cass, Hubbard, Mille Lacs, and Morrison counties. The Minnesota Department of Transportation will host an open house for its planned project on Highway 33 in Cloquet. MnDOT staff will be on hand to answer questions from 5 to 7 Thursday evening at the Cloquet Armory. MnDOT began its study in 2024 and is slated to finalize its designs in 2027 for construction in 2028. Planned corridor improvements include two traffic signal replacements, new bike and pedestrian facilities, space for a future motorized trail, and new drainage and lighting infrastructure. The project is estimated to cost $9 million, and construction impacts include lane closures and local detours. Kootaska Community Action is hosting a Halloween costume drive for International Falls and Grand Rapids trick-or-treaters. Kids' costumes can be dropped off at two Grand Rapids Kootaska offices Monday through Thursday and will be distributed to low-income families early in October. A distribution event for iFalls is slated from 2:30 to 5 Thursday, October 9th at the Backus Community Center. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
This is The Set List on KAXE, where we highlight live music around the area for the upcoming week. I'm Malachi Coons. We are looking at four shows this Friday and Saturday, October 3rd and 4th, in Baxter, Duluth, and Bemidji. First up, Eli Gardner is playing Jack Pine Brewery in Baxter this Friday at 6 p.m. An Americana, gravelly-voiced singer-songwriter who blends folk, rock, and blues with stories of working class and everyday folks. His last album arrived in 2023, but he's released a handful of singles so far this year. Eli Gardner, this Friday, at Jack Pine Brewery in Baxter. On to Saturday for a pair of events in Duluth. First, Delilith Fest runs from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Chester Bowl Park. Inspired by the Lilith Fair Festival of the 90s, the Lilith Fest features an all-women or non-male identifying lineup, including acclaimed folk singer Galen Lee, rising Americana duo The Penny Peaches, Jerry Small, and many more. 11 to 7 this Saturday in Duluth. Then, Canadian country and western singer Coulter Wall is also playing at 7:30 at the Deck Symphony Hall. Known for his deep voice and Towns Van Zandt-inspired songwriting, Wall has been a leading figure in country music since the mid-teens and recently announced his latest album, Memories and Empties, due out in November. It's Coulter Wall this Saturday at the Deck in Duluth. Finally, there is a punk and metal show late Saturday evening at Rail River Folk School in Bemidji. Four bands are on the lineup, including Bemidji group's Rotten Sardines playing punk and metal from Noxious Ghoul. Music begins at 9 p.m. at the Folk School, and the event is hosted by Sundown Records. The set list is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
This is the Thursday morning show on people-powered KAXE. Kari had some yogurt today.
I sure did, and I'm paying for it. Gosh darn it, I know better. When I'm going to be on the air, no yogurt, no ice cream.
That's right. Do you remember the old days when you'd sit in here and do your show with a entire pitcher of water? That was your goal, to drink the pitcher of water through the show?
I forgot about that. You unlocked another memory for me, Heidi.
There we go. The new show.
I think we maybe need to work on that sound effect.
Yeah, I know. I've never been really very good at, like, are you good at, like, shooting?
Pew, pew.
Yeah, no, pew, pew. That was Kari, not me.
Just so we're clear, that really good sound effect.
Mine's more like pew, pew. No.
I think that, and I don't want to gender this, but I do think generally speaking, boys were better at sound effects than girls.
Yeah.
Like growing up, I remember wishing I could be better at sound effects, and it just was, I didn't really actually try.
Okay.
I mean, it's not something I worked on.
Right.
I just was like thought about.
Can you do impersonations? How are you on that?
Some. Yeah. It depends. I used to do like Dumb and Dumber.
Unlock.
Know,
wow. Here we go.
That movie was big in my youth, and so I would do various scenes for my family. From that, so like Jim Carrey,
never saw it.
What?
Sorry,
dude. I own it on VHS and DVD.
All right, you're the coolest. But yes, you know this is where
that's actually the coolest, Heidi.
I'm just trying to be kind. Our age difference show up then because
yes,
you know we're 10, 12 years apart, something like that, maybe more.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so anyway, but I was obviously you were. I probably would have liked it when I was at the age you were at.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was probably at the time I was in Minneapolis going to the Uptown Theater and seeing.
Right. A little bit different.
Already filmed. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit
not,
different.
I don't mean it was all serious.
She's so intellectual, Heidi.
No. No.
What about.
I mean, Rocky Horror Picture Show. So that's not intellectual. So.
What about Tommy Boy?
Mm-mm.
What?
Wait. No, I think I did see Tommy Boy. Yeah, I saw Tommy Boy.
Your head has a thin candy shell on it.
I can't quote from it. You
okay,
know?
Yeah. I would probably, if it were allowed in, you know, the general space of being around other people, I would probably like you'd say the whole dialogue of that movie.
Who's not allowing that?
Well, it's annoying if you're sitting with somebody and the, like, who wants that? Nobody wants that.
I see.
It's like going to a concert and having the person next to you belt it out so loud that you can't hear the actual singer sing it.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
So you're telling me that you've locked those memories in about those movies. You're locking it's, that down so that you
it's
don't
back when my brain
it.
Wasn't overwhelmed with information. Okay. And so it just like, yeah, it's like a padlock. Yeah. I don't know if it's ever going to leave.
We just heard from Brenda. She said Kate and Mark, her daughter and her husband, recite lines from Dumb and Dumber and Tommy Boy every time they are together.
See, Kate and I are of the same era, and I'm sure Mark and Brenda watched it a lot as parents.
Yeah, I tend to do more from like Best in Show or Waiting for Guffman or some stuff like that. Not that, I mean, I just can't think at the moment which ones, but I want to go back. I want to hear more about Nashville, but first let's, you talked about Robert Finley, so it'd be really fun to hear a song.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm not afraid to
Robert Finley. Kari recently had the chance to interview Robert. We'll be hearing the interview. She was down at Americana Fest in Nashville. So is that, that's an industry event, but also there was, there's awards ceremony that...
Multifaceted. So there's Americana Awards, the music awards, that's at the Ryman, and it's for industry people, but there are different levels. So actually anyone could go.
Okay.
And it's sort of like a South by Southwest for Americana music. It's kind of throughout Nashville. And the tough part about that, same with South by Southwest in Austin, is there's not public transportation.
Oh.
And things are quite far apart from each other.
Sure.
So that's the one kind of hard part about navigating around.
There's no public transportation.
I mean, there's buses, but navigating those are not always the easiest sometimes.
Right. And Ubers cost a lot.
Yes.
And, yep.
So that is the one kind of sticking point that makes it a little bit difficult. But it is a great opportunity because there's so much going on that wherever you go, it's not that busy. So you get to get really up close with these artists and see their performance on a pretty intimate level.
So why is going to something like Americana Fest important to your job as music director here?
Well, part of it is this particular conference has, so like I said, it has industry people, but different industry folks than are at the conference that I've attended in Philadelphia. Some of this, there's some overlap there for sure, but I met quite a few other, I've met quite a few other festival organizers there, agents, booking agents, record label folks, promoter, promotion companies. So it's really great networking. There's really interesting panels that go on every year.
You were on a panel, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah.
About sort of how, not sort of, about why radio is still important to artists. And it was actually a really inspiring panel because I was on there with one other person who's in public radio and the other three people were in commercial radio because it's for both commercial and public, non-commercial radio. And one of the gals was that was on there is works at a station in Nashville and she was just talking about how she's recently switched in her smartphone for a flip phone. She's like 30 or 28 or something like that. She has a flip phone. And has said that for the last 5 years, they have had interns come in who are in their, 20, 21, 22, who want to go into radio because they are so sick of the algorithms and so sick of streaming. And they just want that human connection. And they want, so they this newer generation wants to get into radio. And that was in and of itself inspiring to hear. And it just, that was kind of a common thread throughout the whole conference was just that people are craving human curation and context for what you're hearing versus a streaming service that's just feeding you. And then of course that ties into the conversation around AI and how, and AI and music, Spotify has started dabbling in this world of creating a band that's purely AI, but they just put these songs on playlists and people don't even know that this is an AI band. And there's like a million followers by this AI band now. So it's like, that means all of that money, whatever, nobody's getting a lot of money off of streaming, but they are getting everything. It's just a self-serving system. And then where's the art? Where is the room for the art? And how does the art continue and get paid? There's a lot going on, but it also is just, radio still in 2025, labels believe this, agents believe this, musicians believe this. Radio is still the number one music discovery tool for these artists, especially in building that relationship with their audience. So that is also reassuring and really nice to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So...
It sounds great.
So
you get to see performances, but you also get a chance to interview artists that you bring back that you will air.
Yep. So this year I was able to interview, I've over the years been like Amethyst Kia, Sunny War, Oliver Wood from the Wood Brothers. And this year, I interviewed Dean Johnson, a musician out of Seattle, Robert Finley and Chuck Prophet.
Oh,
Chuck Prophet played a show that was like my last show on Friday night that I saw, and he played with his Cumbia Shoes, the band that he's been touring with, who a couple of the members are ones who are on his latest record with Kansave, a cumbia band out of LA, out of California. And that was the most fun set. Huh. Oh my God. It was a blast. It was, everybody was up dancing. You could not stop. I mean, but it was like a punk sort of Americana cumbia, if that's a thing. It was awesome. Wow. And Chuck is just like super laid back California dude, surfer.
Cumbia Shoes?
That's what his band is called.
Okay, that's what I was like.
Chuck Prophet and his Cumbia Shoes.
Are there shoes I don't know, or are there, what's happening here?
No.
Okay.
So it was, he was a total highlight as far as performances go in the conversation. So we'll be airing those interviews over the next couple weeks here on KAXE.
Sounds great. Watch for them at KAXE.org. It's also a great place to go to get out of those algorithms. Really quick, we've got playlists there, so you can look at what volunteers are playing or staff are playing on Headwaters. But also, I think a really good way to do it is look at all those albums of the week. There's a lot of good information there. There's videos, and you can go back years and really find some stuff that you might really like.
A mutual person we know, Kevin, was just in this week saying that he blames Malachi and I for not sleeping over the last few weeks because he just is like nonstop digging into the album of the week. He is, and he's been discovering all these. He was referencing album of the weeks from like years ago, and I was like, boy, you are going deep, Kevin.
Yeah.
So good discovery tool for sure. And if you are stuck in your, you know, a lot of people say like, there's just no good music anymore. There's just, you know, whatever. And it's like, well, I think you just got to try a little.
Are you listening to my phone conversations or what? No.
I mean, I do have a bug on your phone, but we don't need to talk about
that. Fascinating. Who wouldn't want that? Oh my gosh.
We receive support from Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923. Learn more about its vision of carbon-free future at mnpower.com/energyforward.
And support comes from Lady Sippers NA Bottle Shop in downtown Deer River, Itasca County's only NA bottle shop, offering ready-to-drink options, ingredients for craft cocktails, gifts, and more. Info available at ladysippers.com.
And support comes from Sanford Health, with primary care locations in Bemidji and across the upper Midwest. Sanford Health is committed to providing care close to home. Learn more at sanfordhealth.org.
There's something else I was going to talk to you about.
Have you been reading?
I have. Not quite as... I'm a little slow on the uptake for some reason. I'm in the midst of two books, but it's not nothing to do with the books. It's not that the books are bad, but
it's just in that headspace.
Yeah, I sometimes am like, I'm in a book and it's like, I'm thinking about, can't wait to get home, get back to that book,
yes,
you know? But I do love, and I think I mentioned this week, but Jessie Q. Sutanto, and she's got her second book out in her series. It's called Vera Wang's Guide to Snooping on a Dead Man.
Oh.
And it's a Chinese woman in San Francisco, an elder who has a tea shop, which she calls, her name's Vera Wang, but to get people to come in, she calls it Vera Wang. It's very funny. It's very funny. And so she solved the other book. She solved a murder. So now she thinks she's an amateur sleuth.
Sure.
And she does it by bringing food to everybody. She cooks feasts at home and then just shows up. Like, she needed some information. I think it was even from a banker. And she's brought all this food. And the guy was like, I can't talk to you about that. And she's plunked it on his desk, and it's like, then the description of their mouths start watering, and then they feel like they're a child again, or they're, you know, like, it's just, it's really fun. And of course she drives her son Tilly nuts, you know.
Yeah.
And her son Tilly is dating a detective, and so when she went to water plants, she took her hairpin and got into the, you know, locked case and found some, you know, she's that kind of woman, and it's kind of funny.
So
yeah, that's been really kind of enjoyable to do. How about you?
In my time off, I read a good amount and it felt really good. There was one lunch, Heidi, I took. I was sat outside and I read for an hour.
Oh, wow.
And I felt so indulgent. It was amazing. But I just started, I finished three books last week, and I just started Yellowface. Have you read this one yet?
No, I've heard people talk about
it. It's so interesting. It's by R.F. Kuang, and it's about these women who grew up in college together. Like, they went to college together and they're both writers. Though one is on like a really successful trajectory and the other one's just kind of struggling, not having great success. They're together when the really successful one dies.
Oh.
Unexpected, like she choked. And the other one steals a manuscript.
Ooh.
And then she's going to publish it under her own name.
Uh-huh.
She's tweaking it though. She's editing it. She's like putting in lots of work and rewriting a lot of things too. But, and then apparently it's, I mean, this is all like in the back of the book, so I'm not.
Yes.
Apparently it's, you know, to great success, but then it's like, it's not your work and you're, it's a very interesting concept. So, I just started that one though, but I'm like in. Like, I want to go home and read it.
Yeah. I love it when it's that. And this, just talking about it helps me with that. And, you know, next week, Kari, you and I are pretty excited because we're going to be talking with Adriana Trigiani, and it's been years since she's been on with us, the best-selling author, and her new book is out. It's called The View from Lake Como. She is...
Really good read.
Oh, my gosh. She does a whole series. She's really fun to follow on social media because she interviews other authors.
Well, and she's so funny.
Oh, my gosh. She's hilarious. Yeah. She used to write for The Cosby Show.
She did?
Yeah. She wrote in TV and... did all this stuff. So, and she has, her grandparents came from the Iron Range from Virginia. And one of her books that is more historical, The Shoemaker's Daughter, I believe, or apprentice, no, daughter, is loosely based on her family. Her grandfather was a shoemaker and came here as an immigrant. And it's a great book of the Iron Range. And years ago, I got to talk to her about it. So
fun.
Watch out next week. She is so excited to talk to the Iron Range again. She just cannot wait to be with us. But you read The View from Lake Como as well, right? Mm-hmm. And?
I really enjoyed it. So part of it is taking place in Italy. Part of it is taking place in Lake Como, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I was telling you yesterday, I mean, she goes into some, it's about marble mining. Like that's a character of the book.
Yeah.
Which is something I've never read about.
Right.
She
had another one that was slightly about that too. My mom and I read these books a lot. And I have my mom's, kept my mom's, you know, part of her library. Mm-hmm. She had one that was called Rococo. That is a similar thing. It was about marble or a guy that carved.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Yep.
So, you know, if you like this one, you might also like that one.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, even, so I started interviewing her back when we were at the old studios because I loved reading her and when I was doing the book show. And she... just you'll find next week she is effusive, you know, and sort of one of those like lovely and talks to you as if she's known you forever and bossy.
I met her once.
That's right.
When I worked at a bookstore in St. Cloud, I went to a book convention.
Yeah.
And was able to, she is one that sticks out in my brain too, that I was able to meet, and she was amazing.
So I told her, you know, like, oh, my mom and I love reading your books. Because she did, at that time, it was like Big Stone Gap series was her big one. And those are really fun. It was made into a movie. Ashley Judd, not as good as the books, but, you know, fun. Anyway, I told her my mom and I loved, you know, her